So we're just going to be looking in Psalm 33, and I don't think we're going to go long today. We're just going to have a short time in the Word, but we just ask the Holy Spirit to minister according to the Word of the Lord that's in the heart of Jesus, the Word that is His heart, that is the burdens within His heart and His Spirit, His life. That's the Word we need, Lord. We need the Word that is You in life, Spirit, two-edged sword, powerful and living, reaching us on the inside, deep in the inward parts, dividing out that which is us and that which is You, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, that the Word would find the good ground in our heart, the good ground where more of Jesus can form within us. Oh, Lord, who is sufficient for that? That's the work of the Spirit. That's the work of the Spirit of God. So we look to You. We look to You. As we look at the Word, we look to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 33. And let's start in verse 4. Psalm 33, starting in verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. Verse 5, He loveth righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depths in a storehouse. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the devices of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholds all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looked upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts alike. He considers all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear Him, upon those who hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in Thee. So going back to verse 4, we just hear just the magnificence of a God who is above the earth. God who is in His place, and yet all the earth stands in awe of Him. He speaks, maybe even breathes, it says. And His word is released, and it stands fast, and it establishes. He commands, and it's done. The people in the earth, they may take counsel. The horses, the strength of men may move forward, but it's a vain thing. There's nothing there but the Lord. He is our strength. He is our hope. He is whom we wait upon. He is Lord. And I find this psalm to be awe-inspiring in the sense of not awesome in a picture of the earth and this great God above it with all power, but awesome that we would stand, as it says in this psalm, that we would stand in awe of Him in verse 8. Let the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, of him. You know, the world may stand in awe of its fullness, its problems, its own greatness, its own abilities, its own problems, its own dire need. It can stand in awe of its highness and its lowness, its own greatness and its own depravity, its own need and its own provision. The earth constantly beholds itself. But in this psalm, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Stand in awe. And you know, sometimes I hope everybody just knows that Jesus is Lord. I hope that everybody just realizes that they're not in control. And, you know, maybe that's the beginning of fearing the Lord, but I don't know. But in this verse, I just hear this awe of him from whom all things came, by whom all things consist, for whom's pleasure they were all created, who is the head of all things, by whom all things consist. He's the fullness. For so it hath pleased the Father, and that the earth just stops on its axis for one little moment. Looks up, if you will, and says, hey, this whole mess, this whole marble, this earth, this whole globe, this was made for him. What's its purpose? Why does it turn on its axis? Why was it created? Thou art really worthy. Thou art worthy. For all things were created for thy pleasure. And for thy pleasure were they all created. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. No, he's only worthy when it's in the sequestered movements of a church service or a ministry meeting or a mission statement or a ministry detail, that he is worthy. It is created for him there. But then there's life on earth. There's the movements and motions, the needs and important things of this life and this earth and what fills it. So let the earth stand still and let all of its inhabitants stand in awe of him for whom it was all made and for whom it all consists. And this one that the Father had in his heart when he breathed the whole thing into, spoke the whole thing into existence. What was in his heart? Why was it made? Why did the Word release and create all things? For he spoke and it was made. Why would God speak? Why would he create? Why would he move in motion the earth and the inhabitants? Why would he create man? And male and female, create them upon it. Why did he do that? Why does it exist? What is its purpose? For whom was it created? And in the busyness of a world full of its own fullness, with the thoughts of our own hearts continuing to generations, the counsel of our own minds and the mission statements of our own existence constantly rewriting the pages of our daily life. Where is the counsel of the Lord? The thoughts of his heart. The word that he breathed forth from within his heart, a desire within him before the foundation of the world, that he will have an inheritance, a people whom he has chosen, like it says in verse 12, for his own inheritance, in which his son, his firstborn son, would be among them and within them in the life of them. Verse 14, from the place of his habitation, he looks at all the inhabitants of the earth. He looks at them. Where is my son? Where is my son? Where is the Son who was meant to fill the earth with his glory? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where is he? He fashions all their hearts alike. He considers, verse 15, their works. Where is my son ruling and reigning? There is no king saved by a multitude of hosts, a mighty man, the best among them in all their own natural resources, without the son for whom they were created being their life source. This is a vain thing. None shall deliver by great strength. Look, verse 18, the eye of the Lord is going to fall upon those whose eyes and hearts are towards him, who hope in his mercy. For when it pleased God who called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. Who's going to hope in a father's mercy to reveal his son, to separate us from our mother's womb in this old creation, in our old birth, our first birth, that he might reveal his son in the earthen vessel of our heart, that we would have a treasure in this earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power would not be our mighty men and horses, but would be Christ in us. Who's going to hope in God's mercy to move on the behalf of his son by dealing with us, that it would no longer be our flesh and our greatness and our busyness and our fullness filling the earth, but finally his eye could behold his son for whom it was all created, by whom it should all consist, who is meant to be the fullness of it. Oh Lord, just deliver our soul from death. Maybe our spirit's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, so we're not going to hell per se, you know, all that. But what about our soul that lives for self, that lives by its own resources, that is aware of the earth and not standing in awe of him who created it, that we might be with him, in tune with him by oneness, filled with his son, part of his world, part of his place, dwelling in the holy place, dwelling in the heart of the Father through the Spirit of the Son. He spoke and it was done, verse 9 said. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Oh Lord, you've already spoke. You already released your son in death. You've already laid the foundation, not just in word, but in blood, in the crucified blood of the Lamb. And it stands. There's a foundation laid that no man can lay, which is Christ in him crucified, that any man can stand upon because of the work of God in his son unto death. And that foundation stands. Men, they have their counsel. He makes it of no effect. But I'm going to do this. But I'm going to work it this way. But I want to manipulate this way. I want to push it through in my strength. I've got a great idea. The whole world has its great ideas. It's brought to nothing. But the foundation of Christ crucified stands fast for all eternity. Who's going to get on that rock? Who's going to leave the rat race? Who's going to leave the swirl of flesh? Who's going to stand in awe of him for whom it was created and give him the glory he's due by allowing his son to be their life in real ways? Who hears his heart and sees his eye as it searches to and fro? Who's caught up in the Lord's heart rather than the motions of this earth? Well, the Spirit cries, the Father looks, the Son has laid himself a foundation, given himself to be our fullness. What more could they do? What more could they do? And so he deals. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. It's like when Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. But what is our hope? How do we, if he said, be it unto us according to how we hope, how do I hope? Do I stand in awe with my hope? Do I cry out for God to reveal his son in me? Is this my hope? Is Christ in me, my hope? Or is it me somehow sneaking past the cross, somehow pushing through another way, trying to get by one more time without really letting the cross mortally wound me, without really letting the Lamb be enthroned? Is this how I hope? Do I hope to escape secretly, to get distracted again, to find a way that's not the cross? Or do I hope that it will so much be Jesus, that I will cleave, that I will seek him in the night hours, that I will press past my own distractions, my own fears, the own clamor of the earth, all that is swirling and whirling about down here, and stand in awe of him, and hear the counsels of his heart, and stand on the foundation of his crucified son, and cry out for the mercy that he'd reveal him in me, and look into his eyes that searches for a place that he can move according to the counsels of his heart that will stand forever. Who wants to be with the Lord? Who's on the Lord's side? Who's separating from that earth unto his heart? Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? The days go so fast, and each day swallowed up before the Lord has time to really grab our heart. There's a time to just stop the earth itself, and God's already helping that happen, and say, Lord, it's your time. I've said it for 5 years, but I mean it now. Now you caused me to be sheltered in place. What more can you do? I am going to seek you. I am going to get serious. I am going to shake the trees of my heart and inward parts to get the real deal. No excuses. No tomorrows. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And Lord, if there's a swirl in my earth of all kinds of judgments about people and issues about things, and this is right and that is wrong, and I this, and then Lord, may they be consumed with the fires of Calvary and put away in his death, Lord. Let the Lamb be enthroned. Let it be real in this thought, in this motive, in this emotion, in this approach. No sneaking around, no adding my own flesh and my own honey and my own ways. Lord, let them all go to the cross. Let it be real. Let it be real. Let it be real. The Lord says he hears the cries of his saint. There's times to just cry out. You say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm such a mess. I don't even know where to begin. You begin by just crying out. Just cry out to the Lord. Just pour out your heart like water before his throne. You know, that's what this says in Lamentations chapter 1. Just pour out like water your heart before the Lord. That's just the beginning of Lamentations, when everything is just swallowed up in this crisis. What can you do? You can pour out your heart. You can cry out to your God. You can turn your heart towards him even before anything changes. We can draw nigh with our hearts. We can redeem the time while there is still time to be redeemed, while we're still on this planet. Every day is a gift to seek the Lord, to separate from the earth unto the heart of God. Every moment can be made eternal by just the turn of our heart. How many moments does God give us each day to give back to him in oneness? How many moments do we lose with carnal thoughts and stupid things that just don't matter, squandered away, when each moment could be written in the Lamb's book of life if we just let the Lamb, the King of glory, come in? Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord, mighty to save, mighty. Open up those everlasting doors and let the King of glory come in. Who shall ascend the mount of the Lord? Who's on the Lord's side? Lord, we just don't want to keep having you have to cry out to us and cry out to us and cry out to us. And we come back to ourselves and we fall asleep again on you in the garden of your heart. I don't want to do that. We don't know how many days we have. But we want them not to be days we sleep through, but days we're with you. We're just with you. Or what is accomplished? We don't know what's accomplished. What's accomplished is we found your heart and we let you live through us. What higher accomplishment is there but reaching your heart? So Lord, we just up the seriousness of our hearts today. Lord, we try to sensitize deeper into you. to let the season that you've ordained us to be in, to be unto you what it's meant to be from your heart. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for our half-heartedness, for our excuses, for allowing so much to remain inside of us that you put away. And then you live in us. And you have to live with that. Lord, we just need you, but we don't need you in that passive way where we put it on you to do something. We need you, therefore we're going to press in, and we're going to long, and we're going to seek, and we're going to cry out. We're going to redeem time and situations unto the glory of God by letting Jesus live instead of us. So, Lord, have your way. Have your way. Use this time for your glory. Forgive us for all that's gone before now that has squandered precious moments, forgotten precious words, slept through precious opportunities to be with you. Forgive us. And we look forward now, Lord. We don't have an agenda for tomorrow, an idol of what the next season will look like. We have you. You are in our eyes. You, Jesus, just you for you. You are our future. You are our future, Jesus. You, the living God. And being with you is what every day will hold. So we just speak from our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.